Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rashini Rajkumar with you actually this morning. We've got, it's a new month, it's a new day, it's a new season for Healthy Matters and Dr. David Hilden. I'm so excited to be joining you, Dr. Hilden, on this epic show, really. I've been a fan for more than a decade that you've been on WCCO Radio.
Good morning, Rashini. It's great to have you with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
We are indeed starting a new show today, and I just am thrilled that you're joining me on the show this morning. Just a word to our listeners. Many of you are used to the melodic voice of Denny Long in the mornings. And well, we've done a few changes to the show. Denny is going to sleep in on Sunday mornings. And for a guy who's been used to getting up pretty early and dealing with me and all of our health questions in the morning, it's well deserved. You know, we started this show in 2009. And I remember walking into the stations of WCCO, and Denny was one of the first guys I met. And, well, he was probably the first guy I met. And so that was 12 years ago and over 600 shows ago. But we're going to make some changes now, and Denny still can be heard on Saturday mornings on WCCO, but he's going to take Sunday mornings off. And so just a shout-out to Denny. He has been a great partner for me over these 12 years, and I learned a lot about radio. Well, I learned everything I know about radio broadcasting pretty much from Denny. So best wishes to him, my brother and friend. But really excited that you're going to be joining us, Rashini. And many listeners have been listening to Rashini's show later on Sunday mornings and can continue to do that on Sunday mornings right after in the 9 o'clock hour. So we are still going to talk to you about your health care, and we're still going to listen to all of your questions this morning, and we'll have a great conversation this morning.
Absolutely. And Dr. Hilden, like I said, I've been a fan of you and Denny together. I have some big vocal cords to fill, let's put it that way, joining you now Sundays from 7 to 8 a.m. And I hope your faithful listeners stay with us, because we have so much good health information to share. Dr. Hilden, always so good at keeping things real, which I love to say as the host of Real Talk with Rashini on Sundays. But when I listen each morning on Sunday mornings, especially on these open line shows, which today is, by the way, folks, you can call and text us 651-989-9226. all of your medical questions, Dr. Hilden is here to answer and field and put you in a better position than you were before you asked the question. So I'm really excited about it. Today is open phones. And as always, you just do such a nice job of making it real, making it conversational. And what is that about you, Dr. Hilden, that you just don't talk in that normal medical speak that we hear a lot of physicians speak in?
Yeah, you know, I get a little annoyed with that medical speak. And, you know, medical school is essentially a learning a new language. And being a doctor is learning this new language because it is, we need to be precise with other medical professionals. We need to use all of the terminology and the science with each other because that's how we can best care for people. But the best doctors aren't always the ones who got them all right on the test and who can spout out all the biggest words in the world. The better ones, the colleagues that I most appreciate, are those that can explain things to patients and that can relate to people. And so that's what we try to do on this show. I don't know how many thousands or tens of thousands of people we've talked to about whatever's on your mind about medicine, and trying to make it a little bit a little bit lighthearted, a little bit something that we can all relate to. Because let's face it, we're all going to get some medical problem at some point. So we might as well talk about it openly and honestly and in non-biased way. And I try to do that on the show.
Well, you're very good at it. Rashini Rajkumar with Dr. Hilden. We're with you. All our phone lines are open. We're already getting some texts coming in. 651-989-9226. We would love to take your calls this morning and your texts. Before we go to break, Dr. Hilden, let's try to get this quick COVID question in this listener's words. I ran into a friend at the store, both masked and socially distanced. She indicated she had had the virus and gotten over it. However, her husband had contracted it and had just the night before been taken into the hospital. Was she a carrier at that point? And how much do I have to worry about having been exposed? Should I get tested after a few days?
Yeah, that is a great question to that listener. And it's all about the exposure and who you've been in contact with. And I would, for the last part of this one is yes, I would get tested after 4, 5, 6 days. The best time to get tested after you think you've been exposed to someone with coronavirus. And that's what this texter is. This seems like a high risk exposure because you were with somebody who was known to have it. What we tell folks to do in that case is to stay home. Don't expose other people. For heaven's sakes, do wear your mask. And then in about 5 or 6 or 7 days, get tested yourself. One of the problems with getting tested too soon is that the virus might not have multiplied enough in your system and it might not get picked up. So we usually tell people to wait for about 5 or 6 days. And that's what I'd recommend for this texter. As for the fact that this person had a mask on, that is good. And so that social distancing, the masking, what that does is it reduces the risk dramatically.
Let me follow up on that. So she's saying it looks like both she and her husband or this friend was also masked. So does that lower some of the risks to this texter?
It does indeed. And if the texter, if the person making the call is actually two people removed from the exposure, then it becomes a much, much, much lower risk. So it's sort of like degrees of separation. You know, how many degrees of separation are you? If you were the one in a room with somebody with COVID, then you are the first person, you're the direct exposure. That's a higher risk. If you were only exposed to someone who else was exposed, then it becomes a little bit lower risk as well. And the fact that everybody had a mask on makes it lower. I would still recommend this person get a test, though. If you have any exposure risk, the tests are easy. We have enough of them. They're available all over. I would get a test.
And isn't that amazing, too? Now you can say the tests are there. They're readily available. So that has also been a big change over the last several months.
Huge change. When we were back in March and April, it was hard. It was hard to get a test. We didn't even have nasal swabs. We didn't have the little test tube extraction kits for the lab. Whereas now, we're turning around lab tests often same day, you almost always by the next day. And testing has expanded a great deal. We have the gold standard, the one where they put a 6-inch Q-tip up your nose. It's not fun.
Not pretty.
It's not fun. I've had it done once and it was a long 10 seconds. They put it up there for 10 seconds and they twirl it around. But it's safe. It's just uncomfortable. That's the gold standard. We also have nasal swabs that are less invasive, where saliva tests are coming now as well.
And so by the way, thanks options. For that morning, that Sunday morning visual. He is Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. He is answering your questions today on our Healthy Matters open line show. The number for the phone and the text line, 651-989-9226. Rashini Rajkumar in the number two chair with him this morning. And we have to take a quick break, but we'll be with you all hour. We are back with October 4th edition of Healthy Matters. Rashini Rajkumar with you, along with your host, Dr. David Hilden. And the phone lines are open, folks. We have so many calls and texts coming in. We will get to all of the calls for sure. That is the promise, Dr. Hilden. We are
all
making.
Right.
We're going on record right now. The number to remind you, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Tom in North Branch. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, good morning. I have a totally off-the-wall question here. My wife and I, we have some friends whose daughter is pregnant, and she enjoys her, you know, they'll say alcohol, and she's definitely stopped the drinking during the pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. But she's talking about afterwards, she's nursing. Women nursing after a pregnancy, after the birth of the child, as far as drinking alcohol and compared to nursing while drinking alcohol, what is your opinion?
Great question, Tom, and thank you for your call and for your question. So, with the caveat that I'm an internal medicine doctor and don't do a whole lot with babies and the like, that's always a caveat. So take that with a grain of salt. I'm glad, or it's at least a wise move to reduce your alcohol use during pregnancy. There is no known amount of alcohol that is safe during pregnancy. No known amount. That being the case, it is possible that small amounts are not gonna harm things. But that's a good thing to remember. No known amount of alcohol is safe during pregnancy. During breastfeeding is a different story, though, because the reasons for the alcohol restrictions during pregnancy are on the development of the organs and the neurologic systems, which happen very early in the pregnancy. After the baby's born, clearly that's not a problem. I remember this, and she's probably listening. My own mother, I think it was, that said that, you know, you have a beer and it helps the milk come in or something like that. It is probably safe to have a very limited amount of alcohol while you're breastfeeding. But again, the recommendation is that you limit the amount of alcohol drink to just a moderate amount, and that would be just one per day for a woman and two for a man. But for a breastfeeding woman, I would take that also very conservatively. I would limit it to just a very small amount, but the safety is considerably higher than it would be during pregnancy.
Dr. Hilden,
use would not be good.
I'm going to add in here, it is very rare that I could ever add anything medically to what Dr. Hilden's going to tell you. But coincidentally, one of my clients is Proof Alliance, and I would suggest, Tom, that you go to proofalliance.org. They were actually featured in Saturday's Inspired section in the Star Tribune. This organization fights to prevent fetal alcohol syndrome disorders, and they say no amount of alcohol, as Dr. Hilden is saying, is good. No amount during pregnancy. And they would have some more information about the breastfeeding. But I think Dr. Hilden's advice is good here. Lots of really valuable information at proofalliance.org. So I hope you go there.
That's a great tip, Rashini. That really is. And we always err on the side of telling women the less is better. And so I would always say to women in pregnancy, zero is the safe amount. I like that tip of yours, Rashini. That's a great idea.
Right. Like I say, it's so rare that I'm going to ever add anything that you have to say medically.
No, I don't know about that.
This is just one area because they are one of my clients, and I'm very close to this information. All right. Cindy is calling from Andover. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple quick little things. People who wear a mask under their nose, and then if you were tested on, let's say, a Sunday, and you tested positive, are you contagious on Saturday? Thank you so much.
Great question, Cindy. Those are really good. The first thing about the mask under the nose, that doesn't work. It's not effective that way. I've seen masks worn up on the head. I've seen them down on your neck. I've seen them hanging just over your mouth, not your nose. I've seen people wearing a mask and then taking it down when they wish to speak. All kinds of things that are not good practices. It needs to cover your nose and your mouth all the time. The virus is small. It passes mostly in droplets that largely fall to the ground, but some of them are in the air. And those droplets pass through three places: your nose, your mouth, and your eyes. The eyes are less likely, but possible. Believe it or not, your eyes are a hole into your head. And so those are the three places. That's why we wear face shields and goggles at the hospital to see every patient. I put a face shield on. I look like, you can barely tell what I look like. But certainly the mask needs to be over your mouth and your nose all the time when you're around other people. The other question, if you got tested positive on Sunday, you got a test on Sunday and you were positive, could you have been contagious on Saturday? And the answer to that is yes. Very definitely. Potentially infectious before you had a test. It's potentially infectious before you had any symptoms whatsoever. That's why we need to be especially diligent about avoiding large crowds, keeping social distance, and wearing our masks.
Right, and a related text question for you, Dr. Hilden. This person says, both my husband and I had COVID in July. Are we likely to have antibodies? Are we capable of spreading the virus?
You are likely to have antibodies. The question is how long they last and how good they are. So an antibody is a small protein that your body manufactures in response to an invader. So you have this invader, the virus. Your body musters these little antibody proteins that go and glom onto the virus, thereby preventing it from replicating and functioning. So the antibodies are a natural thing that your body does in response to an invader like a virus. Some antibodies last essentially your whole lifetime. Hence, your measles shot you got as a child is probably okay for your whole life. They last forever. Chicken pox, you have those antibodies in your body essentially forever. Others don't last so long. The flu is one of them. That's why we have to get a flu shot every year. They don't last so long. They last a few months to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We just don't know yet with COVID how long the antibodies last. It's likely they last at least 3, 4, or 5 months, maybe 6 months. It's possible they don't last any longer than that, but we just don't know yet. So if you had this thing in July, you probably have some antibodies. The second thing is, are they any good? We don't know how well they prevent the second infection yet. There have been cases, rare, but there have been cases when people can get a second infection. So that is still to be determined. The jury's out on that. You are probably less likely to pass this on to somebody else, but we can never say for sure. So if you had COVID in July, I would assume that you can still pass things on to other people and do the same things we're telling other people, like wear masks and keep your distance and wash your hands.
All right, Dr. Hilden, we have lots of texts coming in. It's Sunday, so I want to get to this one from Pastor Jake when we come back from break. To remind people, the number 651-989-9226. We have lots of texts. I want to get to as many as we can, but I'm promising you, if you call with your question, we for sure will get to you. So 651-989-9226. Dr. Hilden and Rashini, we'll be right back. We are back with Healthy Matters. I'm Rashini Rajkumar, along with your host, Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. We are going to get into the flu for sure this episode because we're getting a lot of text questions. But phone and text lines are open on this open lines edition of Healthy Matters. Give us a call, 651-989-9226. Jennifer is holding in Minneapolis. Hi there, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for calling. What's your question for the doc?
Sure. So I have been hearing a lot about the flu shot, how important it is this year, and to get it early. So, of course, I did as soon as I could get it in mid-August. And then I hear later it's going to be a long flu season. You don't want to get it too soon because the effectiveness could wear off. So what do we expect that kind of that life expectancy of that flu shot to be? And does it make sense, or is there such a thing as getting a flu booster shot later in the season?
Great question, Jennifer. We are telling people this year, just go ahead and get your flu shot now. Get it in August. If you were able to get it then, do it then. Certainly now. For anybody listening now who hasn't had your flu shot yet, you could get it today. It is time. The idea that the protection from it wanes as the year goes on is real. It is possible that maybe next April you're not going to be quite as protected as you are now. But the trade-off is worse. We want people to have protection from flu immediately at the beginning of the flu season. And in the next few weeks, we will start to see our first cases of flu. The good news about, and why I wouldn't worry so much about it, your protection waning, is that the flu season at least is possibly, it looks like it has a chance, if I qualified that enough, that it might not be a bad flu season. And there's a pretty good reason for that. That's because of COVID. For all the things we're doing to prevent COVID also prevents flu. It was interesting. Last year, we were having a raging flu season. In January, in February, it was actually a pretty bad flu season. And then in March, we all did the lockdowns and the stay-at-homes and all that, and flu went to almost nothing. The flu season got shut off like a light last spring, and that's because of all the things we did because of COVID. In Australia and New Zealand and in the Southern Hemisphere, that's where we monitor the flu. They had an almost non-existent flu season. It was really mild this past winter for them, which was our summer. And so flu might not be so bad this year. So I wouldn't worry about the long-term effects of your flu shot. It is better to avoid getting flu and COVID at the same time. So get your flu shot now. I don't think you'll even need a booster shot later in the spring. That wouldn't hurt you, but I don't think you're going to need
that. Would be a double whammy I don't think any of us would want.
No, you don't want to get flu and COVID. They are two viruses. You can get them both.
Wow.
It's not like, oh, I got COVID, I can't get the flu. They are different bugs, different organisms. You can get them both, and you just don't want to, particularly if you're at some higher risk. If you're an older adult, you don't want both of them. Get
all
your
right.
flu shot.
Patty is calling. Lots of calls and texts for you this morning, Dr. Hilden. Patty is calling from Minneapolis. Good morning, Patty.
Hi. First of all, I'm really enjoying you on there, Rashini. I have to say that, but my question is, I'm diabetic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm diabetic, and my doctor wants me to get the more powerful flu shot, but every time, by the time I have an appointment, they've run out, and now I'm scheduled out 2 more weeks for when they're going to get it in. And I'm just wondering, would I be better to get the regular one now or wait for the more powerful one?
I would just get the regular one, Patty. The reason is this. The diabetes, although it puts you at higher risk for complications should you get the flu, it doesn't make you at higher risk for getting it. It's the same with COVID, by the way. When we talk about older folks and we talk about people with other conditions like diabetes or heart disease or lung disease, you're not, as a person living with diabetes, at higher risk for actually getting those viruses. It's just that if you do get them, you could have a worse outcome. It could be more serious. So the higher dose flu vaccine is generally recommended for older adults. People over age 65 will go with as qualifying. You should, if you can get the higher dose. But I've been telling people, and most of my colleagues would agree, get whatever they have. You're getting the vast majority of the protection with whatever they have. So if it's the regular dose, go ahead and get that. If you can get it in 2 weeks, that's, I guess, okay, but it's getting long. I wish everybody would get their flu shot this week. But I would recommend getting just whatever they have.
It's a good time to just remind people, Dr. Hilden, that, you know, the peak flu season is usually January, February, but you've just said get your flu shots now. Ideally, Hennepin Healthcare wants everyone protected by the end of October. Do you just want to do one final, you know, exclamation point on that?
Absolutely, Rashini. Thanks. the flu is worse in Minnesota and our climates, our latitudes, January, February. It takes a week or two or three for your protection to happen. So you get the shot now, so you are fully protected, certainly by the end of October, because that's when it's going to, the invaders start to hit in this time of year, and they peak in January. If you want, I can also point people to our website at Hennepin. It's hennepinhealthcare.org, super easy, and you can get all kinds of information about COVID and the flu and this, that, and the other thing. But if you want to go specifically to this subpage, it's hennepinhealthcare.org/fluhero. Now, okay, I didn't do that, but it's Flu Hero, F-L-U-H-E-R-O. It's something about being a superhero and getting your flu shot. hennepinhealthcare.org/flu.
I think you guys have to trademark that, Dr. Hilden.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'll tease people in the marketing department or whoever came up with that one.
I know.
I think they have a little picture of a superhero getting a flu shot or something like that.
It's great. As everyone knows, you can hear Healthy Matters Sundays right here on WCCO Radio from 7 to 8 in the morning. I'm so excited to be Dr. David Hilden's new co-host, so you'll hear us together. You can also hear us online, which means you can listen all over the world at WCCORadio.com, which brings me to our next caller. Tom is calling from... He's gone. Oh, Tom, I was going to give a shout-out, and I will. Oh, he's back. Okay. Tom from Centuria, Wisconsin is calling. Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I'm reading from a Medica magazine, and it talks about higher risk, and it says one of them could be compromised immune system, such as from cancer treatment. Is there a way to check my immune system? I had prostate cancer treatment in 2011, 42 times.
42 times, Tom, and thanks for calling in from Wisconsin. The 42 times sounds to me an awful lot like you had radiation therapy. That's what that's the magic number. Who came up with that number? I don't know. But men with prostate cancer often get 42 treatments of radiation. You are probably at not as high a risk as you might think, but... Here's the big but to that. You did have cancer. You might be a little older adult. Those are risk factors. And so you can just assume that your immune system is not everything it was when you were a younger man. There isn't a test to do. There's no blood test. There's no anything that your doctor can really tell you specifically about your immune system. So the safe way to go is to assume that someone who had prostate cancer and is an older adult has higher risk. There's no benefit to finding anything else differently. Just by age alone, you'd be at higher risk. So you should double down on everything it takes to stay healthy. Get your flu shot for sure. There's no two ways about that one. And then stay away from crowded sites. Don't go to a lot of indoor places. The places that are the higher risk for getting COVID are when you're indoors without a mask, close to other people for extended periods of time. Those are the riskiest, the highest risk situations. So indoors, close, without a mask for long periods of time are to be avoided.
All right. We are talking about a lot of topics because it is open lines today on Healthy Matters. You can call or text us 651-989-9226. And as I said, we are promising to get to all of the calls. There are dozens of texts. We will do our best to get to those, but definitely call and you will get on the air. We have a lot of COVID and flu questions, Dr. Hilden, but I want to ask this one because it's kind of unique. I actually wish I could say this for myself, but I can't. This listener says, why can't I gain weight? Low blood sugar episodes, lactose and gluten sensitive for 10 years since age 11.
Yeah, a lot of people actually, more than we think, have trouble gaining weight. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, I wish I had your problems. But for some folks, it represents a medical problem. Now, I can't say for sure why this person is, but it could be, and it should be looked into. It could be things like you're not absorbing things from your intestines correctly. especially if you have some lactose and gluten sensitivities, it could be that your body doesn't absorb things. If there are specific conditions, celiac disease is one of them, in which your body is highly sensitive to gluten and it destroys the lining of your intestines, and then you can't absorb nutrients. And so people with celiac sometimes have trouble gaining weight. That's just one example. And so if you are truly eating a good diet and you are having normal digestive functions as far as you know, I would go talk to somebody. Start with your primary doctor and ask her or him to do some basic tests for celiac and for anemia and some other things and see if everything's okay there. If it is, I sometimes recommend seeing a nutritionist. Registered dietitians are really good at helping people with food diaries and try to figure out what it might be. I wouldn't just assume that it's a great thing that you can't gain weight. If you're really having trouble, do have it seen.
All right, we have lots of text questions for Dr. Hilden. Your calls are welcome, 651-989-9226. We'll definitely get to the calls. We'll get to as many texts as we can when we come back after the break, including Pastor Jake's. He's got an issue that I think a lot of people could relate to, and we'll have Dr. Hilden address that when we return. We are back on Healthy Matters on this October 4th. Rashini Rajkumar with you, along with your host, Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. We have this text from Pastor Jake, and then we're going to get to our calls. We have many calls and texts at 651-989-9226. Here's what he says. Hey there, I'm a pastor who serves four churches. I preach at four churches on Sunday. I never sleep well on Saturday night, despite sleeping meds. So I rely on 5-hour energy and coffee on early Sunday morning. This is probably not healthy. Any suggestions on sleep tips and a good source of energy in the AM? What do you have to say to Pastor Jake, Dr. Hilden?
Pastor Jake, four services a day. That's impressive. The 5-hour energy drinks, they contain the main thing they contain is caffeine and probably what's in a couple cups of coffee. Then they contain a whole host of vitamins and other things that probably are benign. In other words, they're not going to harm you. I don't know what they're doing for your energy level, as there wouldn't be a lot of science behind any of it. But the thing in there is caffeine. And caffeine is not, I'm going to say this out loud, is not thought to be all that dangerous in smaller doses. So it's probably not dangerous to take one of those. I wouldn't do three of them. Then you're going to get into higher levels, because higher doses of caffeine do cause headaches, withdrawal, nausea, jitters, heart palpitations. It can cause a lot. So I do suggest that if it's the way you get through one of them on a Sunday morning and that's all you're doing, that's maybe okay. If you're getting into the habit of two or three of them, or you can't get through your week without taking artificial stimulants, then that's a problem. I would work on sleep hygiene. Go to bed at the same time every night. You might try melatonin about dinner time, not at bedtime, at dinner time, so it has a few hours to work. I would make sure there's no blue lights in your bedroom. Get rid of screens. Don't be on any screen within an hour or two before you go to bed. Don't exercise right up till bedtime. Sleep in the same place in a dark room. Don't use your bed for any activities other than sleep or intimate activities. Don't use it for reading. Don't use it for watching TV. Those are all things we call sleep hygiene.
Those are such good tips, and we could all do them. But Pastor Jake may go through a little withdrawal, right? I mean, he's just been doing this week after week. He could crash if he tries your sleep hygiene all at once this next week.
Yep, I do this. I drink too much coffee, let's be honest. And I get caffeine headaches and withdrawal type of symptoms if I stop. My next day, if I miss a day of coffee, I'll have a raging headache. That's not a good thing. So taper the whole thing off. And don't do more than one of those things. Just one of them is probably adequate.
All right. So, Dr. Hilden, we are running out of time. I want to keep our promise to get to all the callers, and then we'll try to do a fire round for the remaining short amount of time we have. Mary is calling from Atwater. Hi there, Mary.
Hi. A college student has been quarantined to her dormitory. She has tested positive with COVID. Is it okay for other college students who have also been tested positive for COVID? Is it okay for them to be together, or should they keep separate?
it's okay, Mary, for them to be together if they're all positive. It's still, you don't want to be passing too much back and forth. Some of them might have a mild illness. Some might be more serious. So they should keep their distance. But that's what we call cohorting. If people are all positive, they can be together. Certainly, nobody else should be in the room with them.
Okay, we are going to try to get through these texts. We have about 2.5 minutes. We'll do some sort of fire round here. So, Dr. Hilden, here we go.
All right.
Listener, how effective do you think the flu shot is? I've heard from 2 to 60%.
That's about right. Flu shots are, they're usually 40 to 60%. The 2 is not accurate, but they are about halfway protective. So if at least half or 60% of the population gets it at that efficacy or that effectiveness rate, that provides immunity to, or at least safety to a larger population. So it's about 50%.
This person, I am not feeling so well, would like to get a COVID test today. Where would I go?
HennepinHealthcare.org. That's one place. We have some of the best testing capabilities in the state. But go to the Minnesota Department of Health. They have them all over the state from War Road to Rochester. Minnesota Department of Health.
All right. And I'm going to quickly answer this one. Someone hoping that my show is still on the air on Sundays. New Showtime, Real Talk with Rasheni, 9 to noon. Join me every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon. All right. Should someone who has had COVID and recovered, but then been around someone who currently has COVID, self-quarantine?
Yes. If you have recovered, you can still, we don't know your susceptibility to get it again. If you had it last summer, 3 months ago, you could get it again. I would always quarantine away from anybody who is exposed or has it. Yes.
Okay, this is going to be the last one because we are totally running out of time. Now, let me find it because it was a good one. Do cholesterol and blood pressure increase as we grow older? If yes, why? What can we do to lower these without going on medication?
Blood pressure gets higher every year you age. Something like 70, 80, 90% of 80-year-olds are going to have high blood pressure. Your blood vessels are like pipes, but they're muscular pipes. So when you're young, they're like a garden hose. When you're older, they're like a metal pipe. So yes, you can do lower salt in your diet, better eating, exercise, but most people will eventually need medications. Cholesterol, the same way. You can use diet and exercise, but if it's too high, I would recommend some type of medications, but every person's different. So just go to your doctor and have those checked.
All right. You get a 10 out of 10 this morning on the very graphic visuals you are giving us. The garden hose versus the metal pipe. I love it. Well, Dr. David Hilden, Hennepin Healthcare's Healthy Matters. It has been just a joy being your co-host this morning. I'm looking forward to all our Sundays ahead. People can join us from 7 to 8 and then give people the website if they want to get to you between now and next Sunday.
Yeah, it's been great being with you, Rasheni. Thank you for joining us as our co-host Sunday mornings. Go to HennepinHealthcare.org for more information. And you can always go to my blog site, which is MyHealthyMatters.org. MyHealthyMatters.org.
Keep it healthy, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.